Hello and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod, the podcast that nobody asked for, but we're doing it anyway. I'm Alex.
And I'm Madison. And in this podcast, we talk about trending topics and give you answers to the questions that you're too scared to ask.
Welcome back to Two Peas in a Pod. We missed you guys last week, but we hope that if you're in school, you had a good and relaxing reading week, because I know that we sure as hell didn't. And if not, I hope you guys had a nice long weekend, enjoyed your Thanksgiving, and
if
all that
stuff. If you celebrated.
Yeah, if you celebrated, but if not, then I hope you guys enjoyed the long weekend. We took a little break, obviously, and didn't have an episode last week, but this week we are back with a very fitting topic, and we're going to be discussing stress, self-care, and we're going to be discussing how to handle life and yourself when life gets really stressful. And I'm sure that a lot of people are super stressed right now just with work and with COVID and everything going on. So we thought that it was a fitting topic given that we're right in the middle of midterm season and we ourselves are currently drowning in work. But we're doing the pod nonetheless, so welcome back.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of wrote two midterms today and I have to write another one after this. So my three remaining brain cells are going to talk to you guys about staying organized and some self-care tips. And even like, for those of you who aren't in school, how working from home has been and like what kind of stress and pressures that COVID's kind of put on you guys throughout the last few months.
Yeah, no, even for over, you know, the big chunk of the pandemic when I went back to Whippy for 6 or 7 months just to kind of, you know, avoid the bad ass part of COVID.
Are you sure you didn't just want to get away from me?
Oh, that too. It was a nice 6 month break from dealing with your singing in the car. But I went back to Whippy in March and I came back to Toronto in September for school. But during that time when I was in Whippy, my dad was obviously working from home and my mom, she's a stay-at-home mom. So we had all of our family like in the house cooped up together for the first time in pretty much ever because my dad works, you know, 9 to 5. He's not home Monday through Friday and he travels a lot. So it was really stressful just to have everybody in the house and we got on each other's nerves and, you know, things were a lot more heated than they normally would be because of just cabin fever and having to work around other people's schedules. And I was doing online classes too for the summer. I was doing an elective just for shits and giggles, for funsies. So I was trying to do my work. My dad was trying to do his work. My mom was trying to do her cleaning stuff and my brother was just being my brother. So we were just kind of getting on each other's nerves and trying to adapt to this new lifestyle of people working from home. Which I think it can be really stressful kind of adapting to not having a routine and not having a 9 to 5 anymore. Because I know that I definitely struggle with not going to school anymore and not having classes and not having that routine, as I'm sure most people do.
Yeah, no, I was kind of the same way. I mean, my dad travels just like your dad does, but he's immunocompromised, so he had to stay home. And obviously, flights out of Canada weren't really a thing, except for essential travel. So he was home. My mom works at the hospital, but she was also kind of home. And then my brother was being stupid, like always. And it would just get annoying because I took 3-4-4 in the summer. Shout out to all you journal kids who know what that is and are going through it this week.
My midterms this week, baby, and I already know I'm going to fail it. So shout out to Elise Taylor and Ivor Shapiro.
Oh, no. No, but seriously, I was doing that in the summer and when the cleaning lady would come over and when my mom was home.
Madison Dolman has a cleaning lady.
It was very, very annoying living on top of each other. And now, I mean, it was a lot better when we were still in stage 3, so I guess you could kind of get out, but even going to coffee shops, you'd have to be worried and you'd have to have your guard up, and everyone's still stressed about the virus. Like, the numbers are still climbing. It's not really getting any better, and I mean, no. The whole routine aspect is lost. The social aspect of school is lost, which puts even more stress on us.
I mean, the funny thing, too, is that when the pandemic really started back in March, my brother's girlfriend, she's from Seattle, so she came here in early February for her birthday, just spend time with them because it's a long-distance relationship or whatever, so they go back and forth. But she came here in February, and then she was here for, supposed to be here for a month, and then everything locked down, like, in early March. So she was stuck here, basically, from February until September. And I was like, bro, is she not going to get, like, deported? But, so we also had, like, the extra stress of having, like, not a stranger, but having, like, a fifth person in our household. So, like, extra people to cook for, clean up after, extra laundry, and just, like, staying out of each other's ways and stuff. And, like, she had to get used to my family's dynamics. And we're all very, like, I'm a very loud person, and I get that from my dad.
No kidding!
I do a pod! That's where I get all my energy out. But, no, like, my dad's really loud too. He loves to sing and like he's a very eccentric person, which is obviously where I fucking get it from. And then my mom is also a very specific type of character too, so like she kind of had to adapt like our own like personalities. Yeah. And our weird shit, and even just getting used to having me around. So like it was really interesting just to have, like, a fifth person basically stuck in our household for over 6 months because she couldn't fly back. Like, the border was closed. And then if she could, like, her flight would get canceled because there were no direct flights to Seattle. It was only to Vancouver and then over to Seattle. And, like, the Vancouver flight to Seattle would keep getting canceled. So I was like, hey, we're not going to send her back and get her stranded in the middle of fucking Vancouver when she's an American citizen. And so, like, we were like, okay, she can just stay here and whatever. But it was really stressful just to get used to everyone's routines, and my brother would sleep in, and then I'd have to get up and do my classes, my dad would have to do his work. So I think that it just, everyone getting used to this whole new lifestyle of, you know, doing school from home, or doing, like, Zoom classes and shit, or, like, working from home, I think that it's really stressful, and it's a really different environment. And it's shitty now, too, because we can't have that social aspect of, you know, getting a drink after class, or, you know, having a few people over for a drink and having a party or something. Like, we can't really do that anymore, especially now that Toronto, Peel, and York are back into stage two.
Well, I think now it's, like, a different kind of stress, you know? Like, I think the stress that we have now, instead of before, where, oh, school finished, like, teachers didn't really know how to work Zoom and stuff like that. And I just, now they do. They took courses over the summer on how to properly monitor classes and tests and stuff like that. And they got the hang of things, but it doesn't make it easier. Like, for a lot of people, online learning is hard. And I've actually talked to a lot of people who wish they deferred or were considering deferring because it's absolutely ridiculous the amount of work they give us and the amount of time they think we have just because we're not commuting. But there's still people who work. Like, I thankfully never lost my job through this whole pandemic. I never had to file for CERB. Any of you that have to file for it, probably gonna have to pay it back, so I really hope you save some of it. But anyways, it just, I always work. I have the pod, I have my Her Campus role as editor, I have stuff that I have to do, you have stuff that you would have to do. Like,
yeah,
it's just way worse being online than it is actually being there, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I find that especially with online learning and learning on Zoom, I think it's so easy to just fucking, you know, scroll through TikTok or be on Instagram and just, like, not pay attention. And I'm totally guilty of this because a lot of my classes, they're very hard to pay attention to, especially when it's, like, a discussion-based thing and you're trying to, like, listen to people doing presentations or, like, you know, listening to, like, someone, like, play their audio back in your class or something for, like, an assignment. And it's very hard to actually stay focused and stay present in online learning. Whereas at least if you're in a classroom and the teacher's right there in front of you, like, yeah, you can still check Instagram, like, be on your phone, whatever, but it's not as much because you don't want to feel like an asshole and be that dick who's just on their phone for the 2-hour lecture. But, like, when you're on a Zoom class, you can either just not have your camera on, or if you do, just have your phone out of the shot. So it's so easy to just, you know, not really give a fuck and not pay attention, which I really struggle with too, because, you know, at least if you're in the classroom, you can either, you know, scroll on your phone for 3 minutes and then go back to paying attention to the class. But there's really nothing else to do while you're in there, right? Like, you're in the class, you went all the way to there, you know, you put forth the effort to fucking put on clothes in the morning and go to the class. Like, what else are you gonna do other than pay attention? But here, it's like, okay, I'm lying in bed with a bag of chips and, like, with my coffee and just scrolling through TikTok. Like, I'm not getting anything out of it anymore. And I think that's really hard to try to make yourself pay attention and make yourself care about what you're learning about when you're not actually there.
Especially when there's so many distractions and depending where you're doing work. Like, I always say doing your work in bed is never a good idea, but obviously it's unavoidable at this point because you don't want to sit on a stupid desk chair for 5 hours of your day. So it's kind of like, depending on the space that you have, there's so many distractions that you can find, like things to do in your room. Like, I'll be making my bed while a prof is teaching a lecture. Like, I know I'm still being productive because I'm, like, making my bed and cleaning up and whatever, but if I was in class, I would have to time manage that kind of productivity in a different way, if you get what I'm saying. And, like, in class, you kind of, profs get to know your character, they get to build a relationship with you that they can't do over Zoom, that no Zoom call, no phone call, no email message is ever going to build. And that's the thing that we're kind of lacking, is that they're grading this work and they don't know what you're capable of, they don't know your ethic, and if something does come up and you're sick or your technology doesn't work, like my asshole of a French teacher the other day didn't care that D2L wasn't letting anyone submit anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the grand scheme of things, if no one's being able to submit things, would it not be his fault as opposed to our fault? And shouldn't he kind of feel some sort of way about it? You know what I mean? But you can't get that kind of talk, like, you can't really talk to him, and you can't really enforce that kind of thing if you're not in person.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that I've been really lucky with my profs because they've been super, super understanding and flexible about, like, you know, everything's online and we all have our own challenges and it's a stressful time and COVID and blah, blah, blah. So I've been really lucky on that aspect with, like, my teachers being really understanding. But then again, I do have 2 midterms later this week, so that could obviously change depending on how they handle that. But I mean, even for my 3-4-4 midterm, which is on media law, so it's, like, really hefty stuff, And it's really dense material. So like they've been really helpful and really understanding with that, and you know, willing to curve the grade if pretty much everyone fails because it's such a hard midterm. So I mean, they've been really helpful in that aspect. But again, you're right, it is really hard to kind of establish a relationship with the prof, especially if it's in a program like ours where it's so hands on, and you need to kind of network and have those relationships with your profs, because that's one of the best parts of university is networking with, you know, your profs and your TAs and those type of people who already are in the industry. They can help you find a job or help you find a position, or like, you know, help you network and meet other people who might help you find a job. So it's really hard to do that. I think that we're losing out on that. Not that we really have a choice, but I mean, even having said that, like even just losing out on the social aspect of university, because I think that even though a lot of people did want to defer, university is really short. I mean, it feels like it's been going by so fast. I mean, I've done 2 years of college and now we're in third year. So this is my fifth year of university or post-secondary school again. Like, it's going by so fast, and I feel like we're really losing out on the enjoyability of, you know, being able to go out for a drink with friends, or like, you know, go out for dinner or grab a coffee if someone's on campus. And I think that losing out on that's really hard, because now it's like, especially with phase two, like you don't want to see too many people that are in your social bubble. You don't want to, we both have family members that are at risk. So it's really hard to, you know, kind of weigh, is it worth it if I see this person? Like, is it going to put my family at risk? So like, it's really stressful to consider, you know, if I get on the subway, am I going to come into contact with someone who has COVID and stuff like that? So like now we really have to tiptoe around like who we interact with. And like, I mean, you and I see each other every week or multiple times a week, so it's fine. But like, there are other people that I know are like hosting a Halloween party and have invited people, and they're like, oh, let me know if you can come. And if you can't, then I'm going to just invite other people. And it's like, I don't think you understand the concept of a social bubble through. Like, just because you can see 10 people, it doesn't mean 10 random people. It means the same 10 fucking people. But you know, just people like that who don't fully understand or grasp the situation, or maybe just don't even care. And it's really frustrating, because like people like you and I, where we have family members that are at risk, that can be really stressful to consider. You know, I don't want to be a dick and be like, oh, I don't want to see you, I don't want to come to your party or whatever. But it's like, you know, it's life or death sometimes for family members.
Yeah, I've gotten super super specific with that. Like, there are a few people who I definitely see, and I make sure that, well, like, it kind of makes sense, because the girls that I see, some of them have boyfriends and they see their boyfriends, but their boyfriends are in the same friend group, so it's kind of like it would be a full circle anyway. And like, I'm super cautious of that, because like family members and your family members, and I see you all the time and whatever. But I think it also brings on, with the lack of social interaction, it brings on seasonal depression in a way worse way. There's usually seasonal depression around this time anyway, because everyone's giving up, the weather's getting cold, it's getting darker, it's getting harder to concentrate, going to school seems more tedious, and everyone just kind of loses their energy. But with COVID, you know, I think it's gotten way worse, because it's like we've had cabin fever already for like 8 or 9 months now, and it's kind of, we're gonna go into the winter, and then the semester's online in the winter too, so it's like we're gonna be locked down in our houses again, with piles of snow outside, nowhere to go, outdoor dining won't be a thing. I don't know when they'll open indoor dining again, and even if they do that, I don't know how many people would really want to go. I'm pretty reluctant myself. But it's just a whole nother aspect that you have to consider, and that's where it comes to really checking up on people's mental health at this time of the year. I mean, every day, but specifically this time of the year, like midterm season for students, or like mid-fall, early winter for everyone else. It's become a lot more important to check in, make sure you tell people you love them, make sure you tell them you're thinking of them, just ask them if they need anything, ask them how they're doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and I think that for sure, given this time period of, you know, people are already extra stressed, and now it's also going to be flu season, so people are going to be getting sick, and like, think that, because like the flu symptoms are pretty...
Get your vaccines, kids!
I mean, I don't believe in those, but not vaccines, but flu shots. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But I think that even just with like flu symptoms, or like having a fucking common cold and thinking that you have COVID, like there's already going to be so much extra stress going on. And like, for me personally, like I live alone in Toronto, so like I start to talk to the fucking walls after a while. Like I'll have full conversation with Google Home. Like this morning I was like, hey Google, how you doing today? And she's like, oh, I'm good. And I'm like, fuck, I'm losing my mind here. But it's just like, you know what, but at least like going out and being social and like grabbing a drink with someone would kind of like keep my insanity at bay and like give me like something to do socially. So now it's like, even like on fucking Tinder, like people will be like, oh, do you want to like grab a drink? And I'm like, we can't grab a drink. Like I can't, even if there was no lockdown, or we didn't go back into phase two, like I still wouldn't want to go and grab a drink with a stranger anyway. I'd want to keep it outdoors and like socially distance and whatever, but it's like, I'd kill to be able to do that. You know, just like go out and have a drink with a friend, or go out and have a drink with a guy, and like just have some aspect of a social life. But we've been robbed from that. And I think like, obviously rightfully so, like we need to stay safe and like keep the numbers at bay so that hospitals don't get overwhelmed and whatnot and keep our family safe and shit. But I think that losing out on that social life really does affect our mental health and our sanity. And I mean, personally for me, because I live alone, it's either I go back to my parents' house in Whitby and I stay there for the weekend and just kind of hang out with them, or I stay at my condo and do this every week with you. And that's about all the social interaction I can have. Yeah. So I think it's really shitty because, you know, in university, people really thrive on, you know, meeting new friends and going out and, you know, going to a shitty college bar and getting drunk or, like, doing whatever, like, you know what I mean? Grabbing a coffee with someone who's on campus or going and doing a stupid photo shoot in the city or whatever you want to do. And I think that without having that now, there's really not a lot of reasons to motivate yourself to go to school, you know, or, like, go to your Zoom classes, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, all that considered, I think a lot of people started to overthink things and kind of exaggerate things, like, they'll do a test and they won't do the best and they'll think it's the end of the world, especially because they can't go out and get rid of that, like, pre and post test stress with a drink, or, like, forget about that midterm at a club, or, like, anything like that, you know what I mean? And people are just, I'm just kind of worried, honestly, for my friends and family and other people that just don't know, still don't know how to handle the pandemic, because, I mean, it's something new for all of us. It's something no one's ever lived through. Like, well, none of us have ever lived through, obviously. There was SARS and stuff like that before it, but...
Yeah, but it didn't come close to the degree of COVID.
Yeah, it was never, like this. And everyone's kind of experiencing a new form of living. So you just kind of have to work to change your mindset, especially students in school who have no motivation to get out of bed and, like, do their work and stuff. I mean, like, it's obviously time for my daily article plug, but I did write a couple articles on burnout motivation, so...
I know this is audio only, but I am rolling my eyes here. Even though you can't see, I am doing it.
But you just kind of have to change your mindset. Like, it just... There's nothing we can do about it.
No, actually, I saw something on social media, and it was, like, so many people are like, wondering, when can we get back to normal? But there is no back to normal. This is the new normal. Like, you need to adapt to the new situation and just accept it. Like, we can't keep pining for the way life once was. We just need to make the most of it.
And when things do get better and similar ways of life start to come back, it's still not going to be exactly the same. Like, you know what I mean?
No, and I mean, like, I feel like we're still always going to be wearing masks, especially during flu season. Like, even if we do, like, one day get this under control and there's a vaccine and whatever, I still feel like people are still going to be so accustomed to wearing masks and using hand sanitizer constantly and shit. And you know what I mean? Like, even, like, I'd always have hand sanitizer when I was, like, on the subway or something and, like, touching, like, nasty public transit. Like, I'd always use it for that. But I wouldn't do it nearly to the degree that I'm doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't use it.
Like, my hands are dry and cracked from the amount of sanitizer I use.
But, like, normally, like, before COVID, like, I wouldn't be using hand sanitizer, like, twice an hour. You know what I mean? Or, like, whatever.
Everyone's going to second guess the crowds at clubs and movie theater lines.
Or, like, making it with a stranger at a club. Like, fucking unheard of now.
Yeah, not going to happen.
You know what I mean? So I feel like there's definitely going to be some differences once things actually do calm down, and God only knows when that's gonna be, but I mean,
the only thing you can do is learn from it, honestly,
and adapt to it. Like, I feel like the longer that people are in denial and fucking doing stupid anti-mask protests in the city and, like, all that stupid shit, I feel like the longer it's gonna fucking drag on, you know what I mean? The longer that people take to actually get on board and be like, hey, I'm gonna wear my mask, I'm gonna socially distance, I'm not gonna fucking see, like, 40 fucking people in one weekend, I feel like the longer it's gonna take for fucking the medical society to actually get things under wrap and develop a vaccine and keep the hospital beds under control and shit like that, it's going to take way longer, the longer it takes for people to actually, you know, adapt and accept the world for the way things are.
And I think it's also the way that your attitude is and the way that you have to change your attitude to adapt to the challenges that we're facing is what's going to stand in your way, whether you're going to live through this positively or negatively. And, like, that's the same. It goes with school. It's, like, studying tips and, like, staying on top of your shit and, like, getting your life together and still doing the work that you would do, because otherwise you would be in school doing it. Like, you would have to write this test, you would have to study for this test, so why are you not going to do it now that you're at home? And it's so easy to say that you're at home and you have no motivation to do it, but if this had never happened, you would still be doing the same things that you're saying that you don't want to do now, if that makes sense.
I think that really comes down to having that work ethic, or having, you know, an organized personality, or even forcing yourself to have an organized personality.
Catching the bag? No, it's not catching the bag. Running up the bag?
Securing the bag?
Yeah.
Not sure where you're going with that one.
I'm not
but,
doing too well.
No, like, I feel like even just, like, kind of forcing yourself to get into the habit of staying organized or staying on top of your shit, I feel like that's more pivotal than ever now, because, you know, before, at least you were in the class and you were physically there, so you could kind of, like, keep in mind, oh, I have this assignment, and, you know, your prof would remind you in class or whatever, and I guess I still do in Zoom classes, but it's not really the same because you're not really paying attention. But I think that just physically being there, like, you know, you'd be more on top of your shit, but now you can actually apply those, you know, extra focusing skills and keeping your shit together now and making sure that you're on top of your shit and using pretty much every tool in your arsenal to make sure that you're on top of stuff. Because, like, now I find myself checking my syllabi, like, literally, like, once a day. When before, I would check it on the first week of school, be like, okay, it's the same bullshit, and never look at it again. But now I'm checking them, like, once
there's a fucking... There's always some hidden assignment or deadline.
Or, like, the readings are fucking weird, are, like, obscured and hard to find. Or there's, like, a random quiz that you didn't know about. So it's so much harder to actually stay on top of your shit and be like, oh, this assignment is actually due next Friday. I thought it was due way later or something like that. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm checking the syllabi all the fucking time now just to make sure that I'm on top of stuff, because I don't get to have that, like, in-person thing with my professor where they're like, oh, by the way, your paper's due next week, or, oh, by the way, the midterm's on this day. You know what I mean? Like, now it's just you kind of have to do it on your own and take that initiative to be on top of your shit.
And I feel like independence is a really big thing right now. I mean, I feel like we've had to adapt to a new way of living and dealing with things on our own, especially because the social aspect was missing. But I mean, I think a big way of that is just keeping yourself, like, taking care of your body, keeping yourself happy, keeping yourself motivated and stuff like that. So it comes with, like, using calendars, using sticky notes. Like, I use my calendar on my computer for everything. I will literally write, like, wear this today, or, like, nails at this time, because I forget everything at this point. So I use my calendar on my Mac, and it's great. I write stupid motivational sticky notes that Alex was making fun of me for earlier that are all around my room just to motivate me to keep going.
They're pretty bad.
And, like, stop looking at
them. I didn't even realize what I was doing. What the fuck?
And, like, good self-care tips, like, you know, working out, trying to eat, not drinking 2 Red Bulls and 3 coffees like we have today. But I mean, I just think you really, it's the time. The time is now. You really just have to do things for yourself, grind for that degree, and work your ass off the best you can, so that whenever things go back to whatever kind of form of old living we had, you will still be on top of your shit and you won't have let yourself slip away through the pandemic.
No, and I think it's very funny because you and I have very different personality types too, because you are very type A, like, stressing out, on top of your shit, getting all your work done, and I'm very much like a procrastinator who always gets my shit done, but I plan my stuff so strategically that I can leave it to the last fucking minute. And, like, I still get good grades, and, like, I still have a great GPA and whatever, but I'm still a procrastinator, and I still, like, you know, I'll still lie in bed watching TikToks for 2 hours and still get my studying done, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, you're very, like, on top of your shit and very go, 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 and I'm very, like, eh, it's fine. It's not, if it's due tomorrow, it's due tomorrow, you know what I mean? So, like, I think we have very different personalities.
You definitely saw
that.
Me throw out the sticky note that said everything I have to do today, honest.
But no, like, I still do. I don't use my calendar on my computer as much as, like, not as intensely as you do. I do, like, oh, nail appointment Thursday at 4 o'clock or whatever, or, like, midterm Friday at 2, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll do stuff like that, and then I'll also have my sticky notes for, you know, all my readings that I have to do for the week, or, like, a to-do list, or stuff that I have to buy, shit
I'm
like that.
I'm definitely way more anal to
Yeah, exactly. It. Like, you're more type A than I am, so, like, I think that we have different approaches to getting our shit done, but nonetheless, we still do get our shit done, and we do get the pretty similar grades, too, so, like, I think that it's just a different approach and different personality types, which there's nothing wrong with that. I think that a lot of people have just different, you know, different ways of approaching work, especially when there's, like, you know, anxiety and, like, you know, stress and stuff pushing you to actually get your shit done, which eventually I kind of procrastinate to the point where I'm like, okay, fuck off. Like, you've done enough. Like, now it's time to actually do work. Like, last night I was studying for a midterm and then I was playing Among Us for 3 hours. And then I was like, okay, fuck off. Now we got to finish our studying. And I did get it done. I got done what I said I was going to do.
At 3 in the morning.
I did. And I only did that because I don't really have classes this week because of midterms. So, like, that was fine. But, like, I allow myself to slack off because I know I can. I don't do it and then fuck myself over and then I get bad grades. You know what I mean? Like, I can be like, okay, I was studying for 3 hours. I'll take a break for 2 hours and fucking play video games or watch Netflix or whatever. And then I'm still going to get done my goal for the night. My goal was to read, say, 40 pages of the textbook. I did do that and I still, like, slacked off a bit and enjoyed myself. So I don't lose my fucking mind.
And I think it depends on the type of learner you are, too. Like, I'm a very visual learner, or, like, even when I was doing my midterm earlier with people on Zoom, like, I had to, like, talk stuff out.
Yeah,
I was
explaining
concepts, and, like, I have to draw things and write things and make little, what are those things called? The
diagrams?
No, you know when you use they're all gonna think I'm stupid. But when you use the first letter and you make like a...
Oh!
It's not an anagram.
An acrostic like a, poem thing?
Yeah, like that. To like figure out the terms and stuff like that. Like for internet infrastructures, let's say, like I was doing earlier. But I'm a very visual learner, so not being able to be in front of that blackboard or in front of that computer and saying, okay, this is how you design a magazine, or this is how you do this, or this is an example of how to conduct a proper interview. Like, I can't... It's really, really hard for me to function. I find myself not... I wouldn't say struggling, because I'm still getting good grades, like, the same kind of grades I would get. It's just taking a lot more out of me to achieve these grades that I would usually be able to do absolutely no problem.
Yeah, no, I think I'm the same way, too. Like, I'm a very visual, hands-on learner, too, and I mean... Normally, if it was a normal midterm and we just had to memorize everything, I'd be, like, using cue cards and, like, everything like that. But now that we're, like, pretty fortunate that most, if not all, midterms and exams are, you know, pretty open book. And they're kind of making them harder because of that. But nonetheless, they are open book. So it's less, like, a memorization thing and more of a your understanding of the concepts, which I do like. Because, like, I don't think that memorizing something and applying it to a test, it's not learning it. You're going to forget it in 2 weeks. You're just memorizing it and repeating it. So it's stupid. But... I mean, at least this way, like, at least, you know, you have the notes in front of you and you're applying
testing
what you've
learned. Testing your understanding and, like...
Which makes more sense anyway in the first place. But, no, like, I think that, especially with me, like, I am getting the same grades too, but it is taking a lot more motivation to actually get myself to do this shit because, you know, it's not like I'm like, oh, I have to, you know, go to class at 9 a.m. tomorrow. I can stay up because, like, I don't have actual classes anymore. It's just roll out of bed, turn on Zoom and, you know, fucking scroll through TikTok for 2 hours or whatever. So I think that... You know, even just motivating yourself to study and because even though, like, you're telling yourself, oh, it is open book, so I'll be fine, when you might not be fucking fine and it might be a hard midterm and you needed those, you needed more detailed notes than you had, you know what I mean? So, yeah, you have to kind of, you know, punch yourself and say, you know, you need to get out of bed and fucking get your shit together, go to the gym. If you can't, we can't go to the gym here, but we're, like, work out, but get your shit together and actually study.
If you want to come to my home gym, you can totally do that, and anyone listening can do that, too, if they want.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend that because, you know... social bubbles, but
if you're in my social bubble, I guess you can come.
Yeah, perfect. All right, I'll use it after this. Work off those 2 Red Bulls and the coffee that I'm drinking right now. But yeah, no, I think that it's just it's an entirely new fucking world, and I think that a lot of people are really slow to understand that, you know safety does really matter, and your actions actually do. You know, people are like, a lot of people think like, oh, like, I'm just one person, like, what I do doesn't really fucking matter. But I think that now, because of how quickly this thing can spread, your actions do fucking matter, and who you see matters. And, you know, ignoring the guidelines, even as annoying as they might be, like, they're there for a reason. You know, I see a lot of people, not to get political, but I see a lot of people hating on Doug Ford too for, like, canceling Halloween, and it's like, bro, like, it's not even him doing it, it's the fucking health officials doing it because they don't want to fucking have a bunch of dead kids from COVID, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not fun, and it's really shitty that a lot of things are getting canceled. Concerts are canceled and Halloween's basically fucking canceled too. We can't go to Halloween parties and shit, but it's there for a reason, you know? I think the longer that it takes for people to accept that and get on board, the longer this is going to take to get our shit back together. And I think that's really shitty that we have to rely on everybody to be on board with this instead of just, you know, going, even if we do everything right and we're going about it and being safe, like, there are always going to be the assholes who are doing things wrong and going to fucking parties at Western or whatever and being assholes, or, you know, having a condo party with 30 people. And it's like, come on. Like, when are people going to get their shit together and actually start helping? So on that note, I think that that's enough ranting about COVID and the shitty state
it's
of the world.
It's getting a little morbid now, so I mean, we're gonna
But that's what seasonal depression does to you. But when you have seasonal depression and regular depression, it's just a double whammy, baby. But, so on that note of stress...
Take a shot for every time Alex talks about her depression. We get it, you're upset.
Me? Never, never. I'm very sane. I only talk to Google for funsies, not because I'm mentally ill. So on that note... What are some of your, you know, best ways to sort of exercise self-care and look after yourself if you're stressed? Like, I know that a lot of people just, like, fucking buy a bath bomb from Lush or fucking, you know, smoke a joint or something. But, like, what are your go-to methods for kind of, you know, getting your shit back under control and just kind of calming down when, you know, you're burning out and life gets super stressful?
Well, apart from drowning myself in a bottle of wine before I have a nice shower and having a...
I didn't say healthy self-care.
I'm having an anxiety attack on the floor of my bathroom.
Classic.
Honestly, I, you know, kind of depends. Depends how bad the anxiety attack is. Depends on how stressed out I am. Depends on what's on my plate, I guess, for the week or the month. I do like to watch Netflix at night. Like, I kind of like to unwind. I try and do most of my work at my desk so that my bed is, like, my safe spot. You know what I mean? Where I'm not doing things for school or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I've heard that, like, there's actually, a mental thing, like, a psychology thing, where it's, like, if you do all your work in your bed and you rest in your bed, then your body can't differentiate between the two, so, like, you don't sleep properly, and, like, you associate working in bed with, like, stress and stuff, so, like, actually, like, even just moving onto your couch or something to do work, and then sleeping and, like, watching Netflix in your bed, and just, you know, separating those two areas of your house. Like, I live in a small studio, so, like, I don't really have many sitting areas in my place, but, like...
The second I get on that bed, it's game over.
Yeah, even just, like, you know, lying in bed and watching Netflix, and then, like, doing my work on my couch or like at my table or something, like it's very specific the energy that you put into that, because like if I'm sitting in bed hunched over like writing a paper or something, after like an hour or two, like my back's gonna be killing me and I'm just not gonna be feeling it. But if I'm doing it at least at a table or something, or like even like before we went to phase two, like doing it at like Starbucks or like something like that, and just kind of like getting being in bed separated from doing work, I think that's actually really important to not just, you know, lie in bed and do shit there if you can avoid it. But
and I think I'm like, I honestly think I'm, like, having a hard trouble coming up with self-care tips because I don't really do that. Like, obviously, I take care of myself and I shower and I whatever the heck I do at night, like, watch Netflix, put on my diffuser, my candles and whatever. But apart from that, I'm a very go-go-go person. And when I'm not go-go-going, I'm usually panicking about how I should be go-go-going. So I'm probably the worst person to ask for self-care tips, because if you would ask any of my other friends, they would say the same thing. They'd be like, this girl doesn't do that. Like, so I'm not going to sit here on the podcast and make something up, because I'm just as stressed, if not more stressed, than some of you listening. And I don't know how to cope with it. I really don't. And I think that's just the way that some students are, if not most, just with the times and with everything going on right now and the amount of work that's on our plate. I don't think we really know how to deal with things. And I think that's okay. I think it's all right as long as you know that you have the resources there to be able to help you, like the teachers and parents. If you have a good relationship with your parents or their family members, plugging my two twin cousins once again for the third time.
Are they twins? I didn't know. you haven't told us that before.
No, but in all seriousness, I think the only way you can really perform acts of self-care is to check in with other people and have other people care and check in with you, and just doing small things for yourself. Like, I think that's the only tip I can really give, is if you say, okay, like, my self-care today is going to be rearranging my closet, or like my self-care is going to be going for a drive, or my self-care is going to be buying that shirt that I wanted because I really want it and I just did 3 midterms. You know what I mean? I think that's the best way you can do something like that, because I don't really have a set answer for you.
No, and I mean, having said that, I think that too, like, even just allowing yourself to, you know, go over to, like, my place and, like, have, like, a glass of wine or whatever. Or and, like, 10. Have a wine night, or 10 glasses of wine's aggressive, but, I mean, you do you. but, like, even, you know, like, even, you know, back when we could even just go out to a restaurant or go out to a patio or something, and just allowing yourself to have
a break. Before class.
Yeah, or, like, yeah, even just, like, even a few weeks ago before shit kind of went and shut down again, even just, you know, going out and, like, grabbing a drink or, like, going to a friend's house and like hanging out or something, and allowing yourself to have that break and enjoy, you know, have a little bit of fun, not get carried away and like just fuck off and get blackout drunk necessarily, but even just like, you know, have a few glasses of wine or go for a beer with someone or something. Not that we can now, but I think just allowing yourself to say, you know what, like, I deserve to go out and like have a few drinks and have fun, or I deserve to, you know, go shopping and buy this or that or whatever. Like, I think that that's really important, to allow yourself to do things that you enjoy. And even if it's not like something like, you know, taking a fucking bath or like taking a 6-hour nap or whatever, like, that's not necessarily the only form of self-care there is. Like, even just like, you know, treating yourself to like, I don't fucking know, like a frappuccino or something. Like, even small things can go a long way and to make you feel better when you're stressed out and, you know, you're kind of coming apart at the seams. So I think that it's really important to allow yourself to enjoy life as much as you can right now, because there isn't a lot of joy going on. It's dark. Mm-hmm. And not to be dark, but, like, there's not a lot of, like, joy or, like, exciting shit going on. It's not like you can look forward to that concert in 2 months, or, like, look forward, oh, it's my friend's birthday in a few weeks, we can go to the club. Like, we don't have stuff to really look forward to anymore. Even, like, Thanksgiving or, like, Christmas, like, we can't even really look forward to going and seeing all of our family members and stuff like that. So I think that we need to find the joy in the little things now and, you know, look forward to, oh, like, I'm going to go and have a glass of wine at my friend's house. And even though it's not, like, going to be a fucking rager like it would have been, at least it's something, right? Like, at least it's something to kind of get your mind off of the usual bullshit, or even just, like, a FaceTime call and get drunk on FaceTime. Like, we have
Shout out Hayden!
Shout out Hayden Gary Campbell. But at least, like, we can just take the little wins and, you know, find joy in small stuff. Like, oh, let's have a drink on FaceTime, or, you know, have, like, 2 people that are in our social bubble over at my apartment and have a drink. I think that we just need to find small things here and there that we can do to take our minds off of the bullshit of, you know, political bullshit with the election coming up or COVID or school or work or whatever the fuck it is that's stressing you out, because I feel like we all have some bullshit that's going on in our lives that we can either want to forget about or want to take a break from. So I think that just like having those little escapes are really important.
And you just have to do the best you can. You have to be mindful that you might not be able to perform your best right now. And like, I'm not saying you can use that as an excuse. I'm not saying you can just do whatever you want and kind of just fuck off from everything. But if you need to take a break, it's okay. If you need to cry, like, that's fine. If you need to talk to someone, that's fine. And it's just kind of like, it sounds really like cliche and kind of sad, but not everyone's gonna be able to deal with things the same way you are, and you're not gonna be able to deal with things the same way someone else is, and vice versa. So I mean, going and doing those little things for yourself, whatever they may be, as small as it is, if it's a walk with your dad, or like if it's as simple as me calling Alex and asking her if she wants to take a shot on FaceTime before I write my exam, like, it's, those are the only things we have to look forward to now. And like, there's nothing you can do about it, there's no way to change it, but I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
No, it really comes down to just making the most of it. And, you know, like I said, like, we don't really have, but like, even like your birthday's in a week, and like, you, it's not like you can really look forward to it as much as you normally would, you know, like you're turning 21 on Halloween.
I'm on a plane going to Vegas at this point, but I can't do that.
Like, you're turning 21 on Halloween, and it's not like you can go to some big rager. Yeah, it's on a Saturday too. Like, Halloween itself is pretty much canceled. Like, you can't have like a big rager for your birthday, or like, you know, you're turning fucking 21, and it's shitty, but like, you know what, there's like really nothing that you can do about it, you know what I mean? And like, getting so hung up on the negative shit and like getting all down and out about it, it's not really going to help you or help you move forward or actually enjoy it, you know? You just kind of have to make the best of it and do what you can to enjoy what you can while you can, because we're just so locked in this state of, you know, small groups and not being able to go out, not being able to be as social as we once were. So I think that, you know, it really does come down to making the most of what we have and what we can do, whether it's, you know, just ordering Uber Eats and having a bottle of wine with friends, or just fucking calling someone and getting drunk on FaceTime. I think that that's really all we can do, and we just have to make the most of it.
So to summarize a lot of what we talked about, I guess the really important thing with having school online now is just to kind of deal with burnout and stress in the best way that you can. And I mean, that goes for people who aren't in school too, people who are just working, or people who just are finding themselves in a rut, I guess you could say. So I mean, some of my tips for burnout coming to you from my lovely article are pretty much time managing and learning to say no. Like, if you can't do something and you know you can't do something, don't agree to it. I know a lot of people, like even my work, thinks that we have more time on our hands because we're not commuting. And so that means we can work more. And that's not necessarily the case. So just learning to say no, eating right. Don't do what Alex and I do. Don't ingest Red Bull all day, every day.
Except midterm week, Hell Week is fair game. Hell Week, drink as much Red Bull as you fucking want.
Yeah, Hell Week, you're not going to sleep. But I mean, just look after yourself. I know it's a hard time, and it's, we've said that every episode, and it's really cliche, but it really is difficult, and with midterms and stuff, and not being able to see anyone to study.
Or even just working from home and being stuck, you know, not going to the office and seeing your coworkers or having that social aspect either. You know, I think that it's really important to try to keep a level head as much as possible, because I think that, you know, even if, I mean, whether you've already had some mental health issues before COVID and before, you know, life kind of went to shit, or if you're, you know, developing, you know, more seasonal depression or anxiety or like other mental health issues now, whether you've had them before or not, I think that everyone's struggling in some way or another with this new world and this new way of living. So I think that, you know, just reaching out to friends and family, you know, like, I call my mom way more than I usually would. Like, I usually call her once a day, but now I'm on the phone to her like four fucking times a day, just because, you know, just to kind of keep my head on my shoulders, you know, interact with her and, you know, see how things are going at home, see how the cats are or whatever. So I think that just, you know, keeping in contact with people even more so than you usually would, and, you know, checking in on your friends, checking in on your family and your coworkers and stuff, and just kind of being there for people. As cheesy as it sounds, like, I think that it really is important, you know, be there for people and be way more supportive than you might normally be, because a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people are feeling isolated or alone, or, you know, they're struggling with, you know, not being able to see people anymore. And I think that it's just really important to be there for people more so than you normally would. And at the same time, being very mindful of, you know, staying safe and, you know, keeping your distance and not, you know, having a party with 20 people at your fucking apartment or whatever. I think that you just really kind of need to grow up and accept the fact that, you know, you're not going to be able to see all of your friends. You know, it's not safe to see someone that you haven't seen in 6 months. So I think that it's just really important to, you know, keep your shit together as best as you can. Stay on top of stuff. Use your Google calendars. Use your sticky notes. Use your reminders app or whatever you can to sort of stay on top of deadlines for school.
Set your alarms.
Or for work. And, you know, yeah, try not to fuck up your sleep schedule either, because I know it's really easy to just stay up until 4 in the morning and fucking sleep until noon. It's really easy to do that now if you don't necessarily have classes or, you know, you work from home and your schedule's different now. So I think that you just really need to set sort of like goals, daily goals for yourself, and, you know, eat as well as you can. Don't live off of Kraft Dinner and Red Bull like I do. And just, you know, just kind of keep your shit together. And if you can't keep your shit together, then ask for help. Because I think that's one of the things that I struggle with the most, too, is asking for help when I need it. Because
it's like a pride thing.
Yeah, it's a very prideful and stubborn thing where it's like, you know, if you're drowning or if you need help, like, I never ask for help unless it's really bad. So, like, I think that, you know, just kind of pushing that pride aside, because a lot of people are struggling and people aren't going to judge you or think, like, oh, you're weak if you ask for help or if you're struggling or something.
Which,
like,
is a common misconception.
It's a very easy thing to think, like, oh, if I say that I need help because I'm not doing well mentally, then it seems like I'm weak and I'm, you know, I'm defenseless and I'm pathetic or whatever. And I think that's it's a really bad mindset to have, because everyone needs help at some point or another.
You can't do it all. You really can't.
Whether you need help with an assignment, you need help with like studying notes, you need help with like, you know, extra time for something at work or like whatever. Like, I think that it's just so important to be aware that, you know, it's valid if you need extra help with something, or you need extra time, or you need, you know,
don't be scared to talk to your managers or your friends or your teachers about it. Or
if you need a break or something, like, I think that that's totally valid. And I think that people need to stop being so afraid to ask for that, because everyone at some point needs something, whether it's, you know, a break from work or like a break from an assignment or an extension on a deadline or whatever. I think that it's just so important to actually ask and use your voice.
But if it'll help you be a better version of yourself, then do it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no sense not doing it.
But I mean, overall, I think that, yeah, I mean, even though this wasn't, you know, a fun and exciting and exposing episode, I think that it was a needed episode, because I feel like a lot of people that I know are going through something or another, you know, whether it's, you know, they're stressed about COVID, they're stressed about the US election, they're stressed about work or school or whatever the fuck is going on in your life. I think that people just really need to sit down and talk things out like you and I do right now, and just talking about like how we cope with stuff and talking about, you know, our experiences with stress and having high risk families and shit. That I think that, you know, life can't always be fun and games and laughing and talking about funny Tinder stories and stuff like that. I think that sometimes you do need to sit down and have more of a serious talk about stuff, and not always joke around with your friends and get drunk and just be stupid assholes and actually have a substantial conversation about stuff. So this might not have been our fun and light and goofy episode, but I mean,
and like, despite all of it, like, I think we kind of did need to have that talk with you guys, and just, I like, we're exhausted, but we needed to let you in on the fact that there is another side to
and I think that podcast, we need to stay authentic too, and because we are going through a more stressful time ourselves with, you know, exams and midterms and everything. But I mean, I think that it's important to not pretend to like be talking about, you know, partying and fraternities and dating a frat boy and all this stuff
next week.
we're not doing it when we are during a stress, like, midterms are this week, you know what I mean? So it's like, we're staying authentic to like, this is what we're going through this week. We've planned it that way specifically because we knew that this was going to be midterm week and it was going to be more stressful topic. So we planned it that way. So I think that it's very important to stay authentic to that. And, you know,
hopefully it'll help you guys if you've gone through it this week, or if your hell week is next week, or just for the future, even for finals, even for anything else, if you're not in school, just for when you're at work or when you find yourself kind of down and you need someone, hopefully that we were the voice that you needed to hear.
And on that note, we want to thank you guys for listening, as always.
We love you.
Yeah, thank you to everyone who reaches out and sends us DMs or texts or whatever about the episodes. We hear you and we see that you're listening to. We love the support, and the love goes both ways. So thank you all always for listening. Next week, we will be back and we will be talking about, as I said, partying and fraternities,
drugs,
and sororities, and apparently drugs.
We're going to have a talk about that.
And it'll be a much more exciting and exposing
considering
episode.
Considering Halloween is coming up, send your birthday wishes to my DMs, I guess.
Yeah, it's Madison's birthday on Halloween, so don't forget. And I'm certainly not going to be able to forget. So thank you guys for listening, and we will see you here next Friday with our episode on partying.
Bye for now.